to Kansas City by Mr. Kaufman, and you became a Royals fan from day one. However you became a fan, everybody in this town has a connection to this Kansas City Royals franchise. And it's cool to hear that the new ownership group, the new guys in charge and gals in charge of this thing, all have this connection to the Kansas City Royals like we do. They're wearing it on their shirt sleeves every single day like we are. They're invested as fans every single day like we are. And that's really what you want from an ownership group. Because I was sitting there thinking yesterday, like, what do we want? Like, what are we supposed to take away? Okay, you own the team. Great. What do we want? Well, we want somebody who's probably going to live it every single day with us and understand what we're going through, but more importantly, what we went through to get to where we are, because this team is on the cusp again of being a very big contender in Major League Baseball, not just a hit it and quit it time this time, but a long-term sustained successful ball club with the direction that they're going right now. And there's great leadership. I was very impressed with everything that John Sherman had to say yesterday. And it brings us back to Nathan Bain, the kid who made the game-winning shot for Stephen F. Austin, and everybody giving to his family and his charity and helping his family out down in the Bahamas. And that's what John Sherman's all about here in Kansas City. And it's a big part of my life, too, of giving back to this town and giving back to the great folks of Kansas City. And John Sherman's been doing that for a very, very long time. And he's going to continue to do that. And he continues to talk about, you know, the generosity of Kansas Cityans and how important it is to be a great community-involved franchise. And it's all about the community. And that was so, so, so refreshing to hear that obviously a guy who's had a ton of ties to Kansas City and giving back and being a big philanthropist in town is going to probably take that to the next level now with this ball club and with his ownership of the Kansas City Royals. And you got Dayton Moore, who's one of the great philanthropists in Kansas City, from a CU in the Major Leagues Foundation to having the idea of the Urban Youth Academy and giving back in that way, in which John Sherman was a big donor in helping build the Urban Youth Academy. So his giving, his ties to Kansas City are very, very, very deep. And everybody that is involved on this new board of directors and new ownership group for the Kansas City Royals has very, very deep ties to Kansas City. So I think everybody is going to be very pleased with where we're headed, where this ball club is going, and what this ball club is going to accomplish. And we'll hear from John Sherman throughout the morning, and he'll tell a story about where he was in 2014 when the Royals went out and, you know, won the American League and went to the World Series. And it really is an incredible story that I don't think anybody else alive today, or maybe even dead today, can share a story like John Sherman did about the 2014 World Series and what happened to him during that time. Josh is out today. Ryan is out today. He's on, I guess, not baby watch anymore. He's got the baby here. So it's me and Kramer with you on the day before Thanksgiving. Hope everybody has a wonderful, wonderful holiday. Coming up, I heard one of the oddest things yesterday about Patrick Mahomes. And if it happens, Patrick would have made a major mistake. We'll tell you about it next.
Fesco in the morning.
We're rolling through a Wednesday here on 610 Sports Radio. Josh is eating in the Hamptons. Ryan is out with the new baby. Me and Kramer with you on the day before Thanksgiving. And I hope everybody has a wonderful holiday. If you're off today, fantastic. If you're not, if you're going to work, working a half day, whatever it is, enjoy the final day of a very, 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 very short week. Saw my man Dan Dan, the Taylor Man, yesterday. Picked up a brand new suit from him for the holiday season. So if you're looking to get out and about and looking for a new suit, my man Dan Dan, the Taylor Man. Get up, Dan. I know you're up at 5:30. It's time to get out of bed. Let's go. It's time to get into the shop over there at 97 The Quivera. He'll get you a suit for a third of the price of anybody in town and a free tie and alterations for the life of the suit. We got a lot to do, including talking a little bit about Patrick Mahomes. I was out and about yesterday, and somebody said something about him that was just so just insane. Like, it made me almost like go, what? And I think I may have gone, what? When I heard somebody say this yesterday. We'll get to that in about 30 seconds. But first, it is our fantasy pick to pop. We do it each week here on 610 Sports Radio, brought to you by Smokehouse Barbecue. And if you remember who has the best fantasy player this time on Monday, you'll get the opportunity to win $50 from Smokehouse Barbecue and a gift pack of sauces and spices. Going up to Smokehouse today to get my turkey for Thanksgiving, and we'll probably get some Cajun wings as well, some ribs, some burnt ends, some mac and cheese, some cheesy corn. and whatever else we decide to eat between now and the end of Thanksgiving tomorrow night. Kramer, you get the first pick because you're in for Ryan today. We're doing quarterbacks today. Who are you taking?
So for my quarterback, let's go for Nick Foles this week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You're taking Nick Foles in your fantasy. He's got the first pick, ladies and gentlemen, and he's going with Nick Foles. So that leaves me with the second pick. I'm going back to the old steady Eddie. Patrick Mahomes is my fantasy pick to pop today. And Josh is going with Lamar Jackson. So remember that on Monday, who had the best fantasy score, the best fantasy pick to pop. And if you are the correct caller on Monday at 6:15, you'll win $50 to Smokehouse Barbecue and a gift pack of sauces and spices from our good friends at Smokehouse Barbecue. Check them out in Independence, Gladstone, and Zona Rosa, where my family will be later on today. And Zona Rosa has the best beer selection in the Northland. Well, I was out and about a lot yesterday, bouncing around from Kauffman Stadium and places in between. And one of the comments I heard yesterday about Patrick Mahomes, and I think there are some folks and fans that are living in a world where you're hoping for one thing, but reality isn't this. And somebody had said yesterday, and I had to get in on the conversation because I was just so like flabbergasted by it. Somebody said to me yesterday, well, I think Patrick Mahomes is probably going to take less money to stay in Kansas City so he can get his teammates paid. And immediately I said, no, he's not. I mean, like, I don't know if that seems to be a feeling amongst Chiefs fans out there that Patrick Mahomes is just going to take less money to stay in Kansas City and sprinkle the wealth around to his teammates. But that's not how it works in the NFL for a number of reasons. Number one, the agent is going to make money off of this deal as well. So he's going to go out and try to get the biggest bang for his buck that he can get. They're not going to settle for a lesser deal to stay in Kansas City because they want to pay their teammates. They got to look out for number one, especially in the NFL where contracts are not guaranteed and they can take it away from you immediately. And if Patrick tries to sign for less than market value, the union and the Players Association going to step in and go, hey, no, I don't think that's going to happen. So I think they're like, it's a great kind of, you know, feeling like you want him to do something like that. And if he ever did something like that, like announced I'm taking less money to pay my teammates, people would love him for it. But at this point in time and where we sit today, Patrick Mahomes is on pace and should be on pace to be the highest paid quarterback and player in the history of the National Football League. And that's the way you have to look at it. Like he's not leaving Kansas City. I mean, there's just no possible way that he leaves Kansas City because of the franchise tag and everything that you can do and all the poison pills that are in there. But for him to take less money to stay in Kansas City, I don't think that is the case. And I don't think it should be the case. I think in the NFL, you've got to look out for you and number one and think about number one all the time because the league is never thinking about you, and it's never thinking about number one. It's always thinking about them. And so when Patrick Mahomes comes due and, you know, it's time to sign that contract, if I'm his agent right now, I'm not in a rush to sign anything with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, the guy has missed 2.5 games roughly this year and still has similar numbers to Lamar Jackson, who everybody is penciling in as the greatest thing since sliced bread now in the NFL. And Patrick Mahomes is right there, you know, neck and neck with him in numbers. And so I think when he's able to do stuff like that, we tend to forget how good he really is. And him signing for less money just to me is not an option he should even explore right now. And when the comment was made yesterday about he should, you know, he'll take less money. I just know he will. I don't know if you know Patrick, I don't think he would take less money, but who else are you going to use that money on? Like who needs to get paid now? Tyreek Hill already has his money. Travis Kelce is getting on the, obviously, the north side of 30, and he's going to start aging out, so it's not like you're going to have to give him a big-time deal. The only player next to Patrick Mahomes right now on this roster that needs to be paid and is worth paying in a long-term type of deal is Chris Jones. And once you get that figured out, you're good, man. You got everybody else that is important to this team already locked up under contract for whatever long-term in the NFL is in the NFL. There's nobody else that really needs to get paid other than Chris Jones and Patrick Mahomes right now because you paid Tyreek Hill. You paid Travis Kelce. You paid the Honey Badger. You've paid, you know, your running back in Damian Williams, you know, last season. So there's not a lot of guys that you're looking at right now that have to get paid. Your left tackle just reworked his deal. Mitchell Schwartz got a bump last season in his salary. So there are guys out there. Frank Clark already got his. Everything is taken care of and everything is setting up for Patrick Mahomes to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. And I think that's ultimately the way it's going to work. And if I was his group and his agents, I wouldn't sign anything until Dak Prescott signs his deal and, you know, maybe Lamar signs a new deal or something like that, because you're always going to want to stay one step ahead of them. So that's, I think, how it's going to ultimately play out with our quarterback. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, actually about 10 minutes, we'll shout it out. So get them in, 69306 of the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. It is Wednesday, and that means it is our 60th anniversary look at the Kansas City Chiefs. And Carl Peterson this week, our former general manager, president, and CEO, is our guest. And all of our interviews are brought to you by Frontier Justice with the 60th anniversary celebration of the Chiefs going on. And Carl talks a little bit about what Derek Thomas meant to the Kansas City Chiefs.
When I drafted him, I said, look, I'm going to ask you to do something that you may not want to, but I really want you to. I need you to come and live in Kansas City. I don't want you going back to Miami, which was his home, or Tuscaloosa, where he was a three-time All-American at Alabama. I said, I need you here. I need you to get involved in the community. We've got to give back to this community. We've got to win the community back to love the Chiefs again. Because frankly, what I had seen in my research was that the community of Kansas City didn't dislike the Chiefs. They were just apathetic towards them. Apathetic. Did not really care. They won or lost, but they had lost for so long. Bill Grigsby, if you remember the great Grigsby, came into my office shortly after I took the job. And he said, hi, Carl, I'm Bill Grigsby. I said, Bill, I know who you are. You're a longtime announcer for the Chiefs. And I'm glad to meet you and see you. So I said, Bill, how bad is it? How bad is it with the community here? He said, well, let me tell you something. He said, this past December, as we're finishing another awful season, drove down to the plaza with my lovely wife, Fran, to dinner, took two club seat tickets out and put them on the outside of my windshield, hopefully that someone would come and take them. After dinner, we came back to the car, and he said, Carl, there were four more tickets on the windshield. I said, that bad? He said, that bad. I said, hey, we've got our work to do.
And you don't realize how bad it really was before Carl Peterson took over with the Kansas City Chiefs. And because of him, the Kansas City Chiefs became one of the most valuable franchises in the NFL, one of the best atmospheres in the NFL. And without Carl Peterson, maybe the Kansas City Chiefs aren't even in Kansas City today. And we will hear more from Carl Peterson coming up at 9:15 here on 610 Sports Radio. But coming up, we'll shout it out. You can get your text in, 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. So get those in. We'll read those coming up. And two things happen this week in the NFL that we've never seen before. We'll tell you what it is next.
Fesco in the morning.
Oh, we're rolling through a Wednesday before Thanksgiving here on 610 Sports Radio. Josh is off eating in the Hamptons, Ryan with the new baby, me and Kramer with you until 10 o'clock here on 610 Sports Radio. Coming up in about 28 minutes, you don't want to miss this. John Sherman took over as owner of the Royals yesterday, and he had an unbelievable, unbelievable story to tell about what his life was like and what was going on in the 2014 World Series. You don't want to miss that coming up just after 7 o'clock here on the 610 Sports Radio. We'll shout it out in a few moments here, so get your text in, 69306, whatever it is you want to talk about. We'll discuss it here on 610 Sports Radio. But a couple of things from the NFL. The NFL is not dying. Everybody thought a couple of years ago the NFL was dying and the NFL is going away. The NFL may be stronger than anything we have in America right now, other than like Amazon and Apple. I mean, it is extremely strong right now. These numbers just came in this week, and we're talking this week, 2 days ago. Yesterday, these numbers have started to come in. The NFL has already sold out the Super Bowl. And I can't tell you the last time that that has happened from a TV standpoint. Fox has already sold out all of the commercials for the Super Bowl at $5 to $5.5 million per spot, depending on where it lands during that game. We haven't even reached December yet, and the Super Bowl on Fox has already sold out from a commercial standpoint. So anybody who says that the NFL is dying and it's not a good business model and, oh, my God, the NFL is a, you know, the dodo bird and a dead man walking, all that, that's still not the case at all. The NFL is alive and well, and people are watching in mass and in record numbers, and we'll get to that in just 1 second. But the Super Bowl never seemingly sells out this early, and it takes time. You're usually running up to the last minute to sell those final commercial spots if you're the network to get your money back and recoup all that money for, you know, the money that you spent on the NFL, and the Super Bowl is never one of those things that sells out at this time of year. So congratulations to them. It shows you how much America truly does love this sport and the week-to-week nature of this sport that we see each week. People are engrossed in the NFL. And to tell you why, Fox Sports, not just for the NFL, but for college football, Penn State, Ohio State, when they aired that game last Saturday, their best-rated college football game of the season and the second-best one on any network this season behind only LSU and Alabama. And then how about this? Sunday afternoon, you were watching it, right? You were watching the Patriots and Cowboys, right? Everybody was watching that game, right? That was America's game of the week, right? How good did it do? It tied for the best regular season NFL number since 1996. The best NFL regular season rated game since 1996 on the Fox network. That tells you how impactful the NFL is right now. It was the highest, I think they said, the highest watched show on television in the year 2019. And that includes everything. That's how big that game was and how big the NFL truly is in the United States. Everybody was paying attention and watching that game because the NFL has found a way, which no other sport really has accomplished except for college football, to make the regular season matter and make every game count and make every game intriguing and make every game feel like it's the biggest thing ever. And the NFL has been able to do that. And it was their biggest regular season game on Fox since 1996. So for anybody who wants to tell you the ratings are falling and the NFL isn't what it used to be, oh, no, folks, we're still watching like it's going out of style, and we're still watching because we love football, and that product was really, really good. It did involve the Cowboys and the Patriots, two premier teams, but still, nonetheless, since 1996, we're talking 20-plus years, that's the best-rated game that Fox has seen in the regular season. Let's shout it out. 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. You're going to eat with a purpose this weekend, I'm sure, for Thanksgiving. Kramer, what do we got going on there today, my friend?
So from the 816 is a shout out to Blue Springs North High School Golden Regiment Marching Band, who will be performing in tomorrow's Macy's Day Parade.
That's awesome, man. If you've ever been to the Macy's Day Parade, it is the best parade, and it's a lot of fun, and we've had the opportunity to go. Growing up outside of New York, I used to go with my sister all the time and stand on the streets and watch those balloons, have friends that carry some of those balloons. And, you know, it really is a cool experience for them. So that's an awesome deal for the folks over at Blue Springs. Enjoy your time in New York. Enjoy that parade, man. Enjoy every single moment of it. I think it's going to be a blast for those kiddos, man. That's a memory and a lifetime thing that you'll talk about forever. That's awesome.
So from the 913, would you have more luck climbing a tree or hopping over a privacy fence?
Me, I would probably think climbing a tree because I could do it a little slower. I could be more analytical and think about it as opposed to just trying to jump a fence because I don't have any ups whatsoever. I would probably, you know, end up hurting myself trying to jump a privacy fence. Those are high, man. Those are like 8 feet tall.
I feel like it depends on the situation to be. I mean, if you're getting chased by a dog or something, privacy fence would be easier.
I don't think so.
But
no.
I'm not going to be being chased by a dog anymore.
Well, I can jump over one of those privacy fences like they have buried underground for the dogs that shock them. I have no problem jumping over something like that, but an actual fence, forget about it. No way in hell am I going to make it over a fence.
Heavy squats are no fun at all, but man, do they get you shredded.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. There is a lot of not fun that happens when you work out, but the feeling afterwards and the results that you see are so worth it, and it keeps you going back for more. Like right now, running is my drug, and that's just because you get this euphoric high, at least I do, during it, and then when I'm done, it's like the best feeling. But leading up to it, going into it, the beginning, I'm like, don't want to do this. But man, when you're done, man, there's no better feeling in the world, so keep on keeping on.
Should we focus on going back to the moon or set our sights on Mars?
I think we've already been to the moon, man. Like, you've been there, done that. So let's do something different, right?
I feel like they're hiding something on the moon.
What could be up there? Like, if the moon was so great, why haven't we been back?
Or are we being told not to go back?
Well, by who? The Russians?
Nah, by probably Martians. Probably
the Martians up there, the Martians.
So maybe Mars is in a... maybe end it on with the moon?
I think right now we've been to the moon. It's been, what, 50 years since we've been to the moon? Why go back? If we haven't been there since then, there's no reason to go back. Mars is a new frontier. It is something different. And quite honestly, I want to see what's up there. I want to see somebody on Mars.
So text line 69306. Keto was created because of Thanksgiving. Is that true?
I don't know if it was true. I mean, you could keto it up for Thanksgiving. You got your gravy, you got your turkey, you got your vegetables, you got your cream of mushroom soup that just goes in everything. The only thing you can't eat, I mean, the only thing are the best, like the stuffing, the mashed potatoes, the pies and stuff like that, unless you get keto versions of all of that. But yeah, you can go into ketosis if you want after Thanksgiving. Don't let keto ruin your Thanksgiving holiday.
Shout out to Bob for always bringing us these feel-good stories.
Oh, yeah, yeah, nice. Appreciate that. Always. Yeah, it's good, man. It's always good to feel good. And that sounds so ridiculous, but, like, life's too short to be miserable, to be upset. And if there's a great story out there to share and to talk about, I'm going to do it. There's so much good going on in Kansas City right now. I know Tammy from the Westin did a thing last night with the Fox 4 Love Fund where they helped serve a meal to a lot of folks last night. My kiddos went out and they took part in that. Got to see Santa Claus and a lot of former Chiefs were out there. Mark Collins, Sean Barber. You saw Casey Wolf was out there last night. There are so many good things that are going on in Kansas City right now that do deserve to be talked about and do deserve to be discussed.
From the 816, just stubbed my toe and my wife seems to think it's funny.
It's not funny. And I was just reading a Facebook post of a friend of mine from high school, and he talked about waking up this morning with a huge pain in his foot. He finally got the pain out of his foot, and as soon as he did, he stubbed his other foot and his other toe on like a dresser or something. And that is a lot of pain, man. And I understand it's like a lot of schadenfreude taking joy in somebody else's pain. But, man, if your husband stubs his toe, don't laugh at him. Ask what you can do to make that toe better. It's Thanksgiving.
Speaking of Thanksgiving, would you rather go for white meat or dark meat on the turkey or pumpkin pie or pumpkin cheesecake?
I got both pumpkin pie and pumpkin cheesecake in the refrigerator. Costco is a very good place this time of year for your pumpkin desserts. But I'm a white meat guy. I used to like the dark meat. My grandmother always liked the dark meat. She ate the neck of the turkey all the time, which I still don't understand why that was a delightful piece of meat for her. But she did. She liked it. And I used to like the dark meat, but there's something about the texture of the dark meat now when I eat it. I just feel not good. I don't know. Like, I can feel like I'm eating fat or something like that. I'm out on the dark meat.
See, I'm more of a white meat guy, but I can't stand turkey.
You can't?
I just can't. I'll eat it because it's Thanksgiving. It's the only time I'll eat it.
You got to eat your turkey at Smokehouse then, man. You're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. But the dark meat is juicier, obviously tastes better, but I don't know. It just doesn't sit right for me. I don't like it anymore. I like the white meat.
From the 913, he just accidentally texted my shout-out submission to a friend instead of it, of hit of this.
Oh, that's all right.
That's awkward.
Well, now your friend's got your shout-out suggestion. If we knew what it was, we'd answer it for you and we'd talk about it.
I'm a KU fan/alum and had no desire to stay up for a 9:30 tip-off. That's late.
Hey, I'm with you, man. I didn't see any of the game last night, and I don't feel shy about admitting it. It's late, and as I've gotten older, putting 43 years on this body coming up in April. Yeah, you pick and choose when you want to stay up late. I'm with you. College basketball games, especially Kansas games, they're too late. For somebody like me, I get up at 3:45. It's too late. I'd rather have a 4 o'clock in the afternoon game. I know that's not kosher for everybody out there, but for me, yeah, these 8 o'clock games, man, it's way too late. It's just way, way, way too late for me.
That's one of the 913. What's Kramer's favorite Kramer moment? I'm guessing they're trying to emphasize on Seinfeld.
On Seinfeld,
here.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite Kramer moment?
This is the thing. I've never watched Seinfeld.
Okay, and this segment is now officially over, and you will not be asked back. Ryan, get back to work. We've got a guy here who has never seen Seinfeld.
I mean, at least I know who the cast is and whatnot. So that's okay, right?
Why don't you binge watch it this weekend, okay, so you can have some conversation? Because a lot of the things that I say are like subtle Seinfeld lines, and some people get them, some people don't. And when Spector was the producer, he was a big into Seinfeld guy too, so I could always look at him and he'd know exactly what I was talking about. So you need to binge watch it this weekend. Skip season one, that thing sucked, but from season two on, binge watch it. Write notes, take notes, make mental notes, understand the show, understand the series, and you'll have a better grasp on life.
I mean,
now everything that took place in Seinfeld could be solved easily today by a cell phone. It's very simple. None of the episodes make sense in today's age of life, But it's still nonetheless a phenomenal, phenomenal show.
If I'm going to be with you for a month, I'll do this for you.
Yeah, you got to watch it. You got to watch it. That is Shout It Out. Coming up here on 610 Sports Radio, two national pundits debate, then more national pundits debate. It was the topic of the day yesterday, and it had me shaking my head about Patrick Mahomes next.
Fesco in the morning.
Coming up in about 12 minutes here on 610 Sports Radio, John Sherman, the new CEO of our Kansas City Royals, met with the media for the first time yesterday and told an incredible story about 2014 and 2015 and what was going on in his life when the Royals made their first World Series appearance in 29 years. It is a story you don't want to miss, and it is a story that I think will resonate with everybody in Kansas City, because every single one of us has a memory and a thought about where we were and what was going on in 2014 and 2015 with that Royals baseball club. They created memories those 2 years that can never be forgotten, never be changed, and will always, always, always live kind of at the forefront of our minds. One guy who's doing that exact thing right now has been Patrick Mahomes here in Kansas City. He is creating memories. He is creating moments. He is creating all kinds of great things for us to watch right now. And that's why you have to enjoy that moment, because before you know it, boom, it's gone. And, you know, I think Patrick's obviously got a lot of staying power and is going to be around for, you know, a decade plus as quarterback here in Kansas City, but you never know when it's going to end. And that's why you have to enjoy every single moment that he is giving us. If we can learn one thing from that 14 and 15 run with the Royals, is to, you know, sit back and enjoy everything that is going on, because you don't know how quickly it can be taken away from you. And the new flavor of the week and on the street right now is clearly Lamar Jackson. He is now the greatest thing that has ever played the quarterback position, less than a year after Patrick Mahomes was the greatest thing that ever played the quarterback position. And it's funny, yesterday, somehow the topic came up. I think Pro Football Talk started it yesterday, Mike Florio, where he said Lamar Jackson is greater than Patrick Mahomes. Well, if you compare the numbers this year and look at what he's doing this year, Lamar Jackson's playing better than anybody in the NFL right now. It's not just Patrick Mahomes. He's the MVP of the league right now. He has been a dynamic, dynamic player. But as Jeff Schwartz pointed out on Twitter last night, former member of the Chiefs and brother to Mitchell Schwartz, right tackle for the Chiefs, he pointed out on Twitter last night that Mahomes has missed like 2.5 games roughly this year and has like 300 less yards passing than Lamar Jackson does right now, and Lamar has been ranked as the best pocket passer in the NFL from a statistical category. And so, you know, you look at the numbers that Mahomes is putting up, you look at the numbers that Lamar Jackson's putting up, and you have to think to yourself, I think a lot of people are writing off Patrick Mahomes right now. But that seems to be the flavor of the week in the NFL. That's how the NFL works. That's why the NFL is great. There is something compelling and different and amazing every single week. And right now, we're in the midst of a run by Lamar Jackson that nobody has seen from a running standpoint and a throwing standpoint. We were in the midst of a run by Patrick Mahomes last year that nobody saw, just from a pure throwing, making plays, creating opportunities, doing amazing things standpoint with his arms. Lamar Jackson is doing it both with his arms and his legs. But just because he's playing great right now doesn't make him the best quarterback overall in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes, in my opinion, is still the best quarterback in the NFL. You have to take a step back. You have to look at everything. You have to survey the landscape and realize Lamar's playing great right now. But I believe that if every general manager had the first overall pick and could draft anybody in the NFL to be on their team, every one of them would take Patrick Mahomes. And I think if they said otherwise, they would probably be lying to you, because Patrick Mahomes is still the guy that you want to build your franchise around in the NFL, because long term, I think Patrick Mahomes still has more staying power than Lamar Jackson does, because he does put his body at so much more risk than Mahomes does. But that's not to take anything away from Lamar, because he's one of my favorite quarterbacks to watch of all time right now because of the way that he's going out there and playing. But the debate started yesterday on Pro Football Talk with Chris Sims and Mike Florio about, hey, who would you rather have right now, Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson? Here's Chris Sims.
Lamar Jackson and his talents are, it might be even more rare than Patrick Mahomes, and that's saying something, because, I mean, we saw, again, let's not forget, Patrick Mahomes did things last year that we have never seen before in the history of the NFL. It was that special. I think if you really, you know, put a gun to my head, I'd probably still go with Patrick Mahomes.
And that's exactly right, because Chris Sims understands that ultimately this is still a passing league. This is still a league where you have to be able to air it out, and nobody airs it out better in this league than Patrick Mahomes does right now. Lamar is great. He's having a – and this isn't a knock on Lamar at all. It's just a statement, in my opinion, a fact – about where we are in the quarterback hierarchy in the NFL. Nobody does a better job of throwing the football in this league than Patrick. Whether you're open or not, he's going to find you. He's going to hit you. He's going to help you make a in the passing game like nobody else can do in this league. Lamar is a rare talent because he's so exceptional at running, and he's really good at the quarterback, and you got to win a game, and you need to have a play made. Patrick Mahomes is still that guy. Mike Florio continues.
Mahomes is going to do what he's doing for the next 15 years, right? Is Lamar Jackson going to be doing what he's doing for the next 15 years? I think Lamar Jackson is going to be a more limited life cycle, but may be better at times, including right now, during that process. I mean, we worry about Lamar Jackson getting injured. Who got injured this year? It was Mahomes.
Yeah, right. No, you're right. I mean, and the other thing is, yeah, will Lamar Jackson be able to continue to have these highlight 45-yard runs, you know, 9 and 10 years from now? Probably not.
And that's the thing. The staying power of this is big as well. Patrick Mahomes plays a style of quarterback that will allow him to be around more. And that was a freak injury that he suffered in Denver. I am sure that if you look at Lamar Jackson and the way that he runs, he is going to put himself in harm's way more than Patrick Mahomes is going to put himself in harm's way on a bum knee when he was favoring a bum ankle at the time. So to say that Patrick Mahomes, yeah, well, he's the guy that got injured this year. Yeah, you're right. He did get injured this year, but that was more of a freak type of accident than not really putting himself in harm's way type of deal and getting injured like Lamar Jackson does on every single play. Florio and Sims continued on about who is the best quarterback right now in the NFL, and they came to one conclusion.
For a lot of the stuff Mahomes does, and the arm strength is incredible.
Right.
But I feel like there's a better chance of there being another Mahomes before there's going to be another Lamar Jackson.
I agree. Hey, like my little boy, Phillip Sims. Hey, he's got no chance of ever being Lamar Jackson. You know, if he, hey, buddy, you're a Sims. You ain't going to be able to run like that. Sorry. Now, you know, yes, for, you know, the throwing wise, I'm not saying he could be Patrick Mahomes, but you're right. It's easier for a kid to think I could be that over Lamar Jackson. You got to run 4-3 to be Lamar Jackson.
And that's why Lamar Jackson right now is a special talent in the NFL because he does stuff that nobody else can do. But when you look at overall body of work, who do you want to run your franchise? Who do you want under center? Who do you need to make a play? Who can you count on? Who do you rely on? To me, all those answers still point back to Patrick Mahomes, and they come back to our quarterback here in Kansas City still being the best. And I was kind of thinking about this morning is everybody seemingly wants to, you know, elevate Lamar Jackson to the greatest of all time. Is that Patrick's just lying in the weeds, man. He's just doing his thing, and all of a sudden you're going to turn around and it's going to be the AFC Championship game, and it's going to be Patrick Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson, and all the questions are going to be answered on that January day, hopefully in Kansas City, but more likely probably in Baltimore. Coming up at 7, John Sherman met the media yesterday for the first time, and he had an incredible story to tell about his 2014 World Series experience that comes your way in less than 4 minutes here on 610 Sports Radio. Couple of other talking heads opining yesterday about Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Who do you want? Who do you want? Who do you want? Via the big 1070 up in Milwaukee, Rob Parker of Fox Sports weighed in.
I think I would rather take him because I've seen Mahomes this year, and even though he's putting up these good numbers, they don't win. It's not automatic. I think the running, because as a quarterback, you need a running game, even if it's somebody else, Chris, or you running, I think I would take Lamar Jackson.
So he's taking Lamar Jackson, flavor of the week. He looks at the running game, and that is a big deterrent right now for the Chiefs. There's no doubt about it. They need to get better running the football, and if you want to win in January, you have to be an effective running team, and clearly Baltimore has that. But I think Lamar Jackson gets elevated. Obviously, he's a great football player, but I think he's surrounded by a better grouping of players on his team from the running back standpoint. I think they got two really good running backs, and the Chiefs have two running backs. And so I think he's got the benefit of having those guys behind him. I think that ultimately helps his game, which should shine more light on maybe why Patrick Mahomes is better, because he's able to go out there and still put up extremely powerful numbers with no running game. And in an offense where everybody knows you're going to throw the football, he still goes out there and he still dominates. I don't know if you take Mark Ingram away from that offense if Lamar Jackson can play and have the same type of success that he's having right now because of Mark Ingram being such a huge, huge, huge part of that offense. And plus, Baltimore has a better defense than the Chiefs do right now. So I think ultimately Lamar Jackson, again, great quarterback, playing great football right now. But if you take his pieces away, is he still able to do what Patrick Mahomes has been able to do with basically no semblance of a running game at all? And that's the question that has to be answered. And I don't know if it can be answered, you know, because I don't think they're going to take, you know, Mark Ingram away. And so he's the benefit of a great situation.
And there's at least so much that's around the entire Baltimore Ravens that, I mean, people can step up any time, but you can also say that with the Chiefs as well.
But not from a running game standpoint.
Yeah, not from a running game. Not from a running game at all right now. But if you want to say Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, that's a generational talent.
Yeah.
Longevity in Lamar Jackson, I don't see it at all. So it's nice right now to make this assessment of who's better right now, but longevity, Patrick Mahomes.
Longevity, no question. And I don't understand, you know, I guess that's the flavor of the week this time in the NFL. But why do we have to pick? Like, why can't we just enjoy both of these guys? Why does it have to be Patrick versus Lamar? Why does there always have to be the next, you know, Manning and Brady? Maybe that doesn't happen ever again. Maybe we never see two quarterbacks play as long as they did, duel as long as they did, and go back and forth as long as they did, like we saw with Manning and Brady. Maybe that never happens again because, you know, at the beginning of the year, it could have been Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. Then it was Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. Now it's Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. Like, why can't we just enjoy all this? We're in a quarterback renaissance right now in the NFL, and I think it's great for the league. I mean, that's why the television ratings are so high. That's why they've sold out ads on the Super Bowl. Because of these quarterbacks, because of these dynamic players, it truly is a quarterback renaissance that we've needed in the NFL, because I would say just 2 or 3 years ago, we were talking about, boy, the quarterback talent's bad. Who's coming out of college? Where are we going to go with this position? Who's going to be the next when Manning and Brady retire? And now we've got answers all over the board. We've got Russell Wilson. We've got Jimmy Garoppolo. We've got Patrick Mahomes. We've got Lamar Jackson. We've got Deshaun Watson. You got Kyler Murray playing balls out right now, you know, and that's not even counting Wentz and Goff, who were at the top of the game a year ago. I mean, you've got like six legit, let's go get it quarterbacks in this league right now that are all right in their prime. This is a great time to be an NFL fan. And to sit there and say, who would you rather have? Man, I'd take all of them right now to run my franchise. If I had to go and start a franchise and I had a choice between one of those six, Mahomes is still by far my number one pick. But I'm not crying over anybody else that's a consolation prize because they're all good. Like, this may be the best era of quarterbacks that a lot of us have ever seen.
No, I agree with you. There's just so many, like, youthful talent that they're all young. And that we're going to see, I mean, Russell Wilson is probably the oldest out of the guys you listed.
Yeah.
But there's just so much talent, and we're going to see this for the next, what, 7 to 10 years?
I hope so, yeah. I hope for the next decade, it's like, we got all of these guys here playing.
That means more competitive football.
It means better football, yeah. Absolutely does. I'm not even counting Mitchell Trubisky on that list. 610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Kansas City, a radio.com sports station. Your chance to win a Flying Horse gift pack. We'll get you a flatbread, a T-shirt, and a crowler of beer. And don't forget, you can order at FlyingHorseTapRoom.com, FlyingHorseTapRoom.com. You can order your food. They'll deliver it to you. They're close to being able to deliver beer and wine and liquor as well. So check them out at FlyingHorseTapRoom.com. And we will give you an opportunity to win when you hear this.
You are the chosen one.
Be caller number 12 to 913-576-7610. 913-576-7610. Be caller 12, and you'll win that Flying Horse Tap Room gift pack here on 610 Sports Radio. Coming up in about 14 minutes, Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio will join us. We'll get his take on Lamar or Patrick Mahomes. Yesterday was a big day for Kansas City, a great day for Kansas City. John Sherman and his group taking over ownership of the Kansas City Royals, and his story of how he ultimately purchased the team is very, very intriguing and very interesting, and kind of like, I just like that kind of stuff. I like to hear how that kind of stuff happened. But more importantly for me was what was going on in 2014 and 2015 with John Sherman and ultimately what his thoughts were as a Royals fan back then, because we all have those memories of 2014 and 2015. For my family, there's still some of our top memories as a family of October baseball that year, and we loved every single minute of it. And I think everybody in Kansas City who was around at that time and understands what went on that time has great memories, and you'll stop and you'll talk about those memories with anybody on the street. Hey, remember 14? Yeah, what were you doing? And you start talking, you become best of friends. So I asked John Sherman yesterday, I said, hey, what were your memories of 2014 and 2015 as a Royals fan?
I had not really thought we would be in the World Series. I'll admit that in 2014. So Marnie found me in the middle of the night watching one of the games on my phone. And she said, why don't you just go back to Kansas City? And I said, are you serious? And I looked her in the eye, and she said, yeah, I'm serious. And so I did come back. So I was back here for game 6 and 7. Then I went back and caught up with the family. And
he, just so you know, was on a European cruise. He got off the cruise ship, booked a flight to get back to Kansas City to be in Kansas City for game 6 and game 7 of the 2014 World Series. He continues.
Europe, so... She's saying that I didn't. What you said? I did. I wasn't serious. I said, "Yeah, you were serious." Because I left. Nancy says she wasn't. Didn't think I'd do it. Something like that. But no, the 14 and 15. That was magic. You know, and that's what's great about baseball. Joel's question. You don't know what's going to happen when you come out here. I think about lots of memories. We talked about the 1980 home run. I think about game one and. And, well, the wild card game speaks for itself, but game one in 2015, you know, it wasn't, I know Escobar, is that the game he led off with an inside the park home run? So you think things are starting well, but late in the game, you know, it was kind of, we weren't really doing much, but nobody left, right? And Alex Gordon steps up and cranks that ball into, and that's magic, right? We all get home at 1:30 in the morning and we come back the next day. Mm-hmm. And that magic culminated in a great parade that, I think I heard Mike say you thought that was photoshopped. Mike saw that picture of the parade. He couldn't believe that wasn't altered. But no, the 14-15 run, and it's kind of what makes you hungry to get back, right? I mean, these guys, there's a lot of things that the baseball gods have to smile on you. You got to have some breaks. But what those experiences, October baseball, the magic of October baseball, and what it does for fans and our community is pretty special.
And that's why it's important to have somebody and so many people with Kansas City ties to be able to understand what 14 and 15 were like and what it meant to this town. And there's John Sherman, fan of the Royals at the time, flying back from his vacation to get to game 6 and to game 7, never imagining probably in his wildest dreams that at some point in time, he would be the owner of the Kansas City Royals. I'm probably sure he thought, we'd all love to own the Royals or the Chiefs or, you know, whatever your favorite team is. You'd love to be the owner of that team. John Sherman now is living out his kind of dream and being able to own his hometown franchise. And that's pretty cool. But, man, to drop everything and fly back to the United States to watch two baseball games, if that doesn't tell you the commitment that he has and the commitment that he will give to this organization, I don't know what does, because I got to be honest, I don't know if I'm cutting my vacation short to go back and watch baseball. But when it's the World Series for the first time in 29 years, yeah, you're cutting your vacation short. You're saying, screw this, I'll go see the Parthenon at some other time. I'm getting back to the United States, and I'm watching my Kansas City Royals. And that's the type of guy that's in ownership now for our ball club, and that should tell you how he feels and how passionate he is about this team. So how did it all come down, John? How did it all happen where you became the owner of the Kansas City Royals? Were you just sitting around talking to David Glass? Let us behind the scenes on this one.
My phone rang. I looked down on it, and it was a call from Fayetteville, Arkansas. And, of course, at my age, I'm a big target for these scammer robocalls, and they tend to all come from Arkansas for some reason. Or at best, they're going to be trying to sell me a Medicare supplement at this point. But anyway, so I ignored the call, kind of went about our business. And then later in the day, we were on our way over to the stadium. In fact, I remember it well. We were playing the Brewers that day. It was a split squad, and we actually had the other half of the team over in Surprise. And Anyway, I noticed I had a voicemail. I listened to it. It was David Glass and very casual. John, if you get a chance, give me a call at your convenience.
So did you call David Glass? How long did you wait? Did you get right back to him? Like, why is David Glass calling me at this random juncture of spring training? Maybe he wants to talk about the split squad game that's going on. Maybe something happened in Surprise, Arizona. Call me at your earliest convenience. So, John, what'd you do? Did you call him?
I didn't think a lot about it because we'd developed a relationship. He didn't call me very often, but I was curious. So anyway, I called David. He said, John, I want to give you a heads up. The family's decided to sell the team. Don't know if my timing's right with Cleveland, but you would be my first choice. I think you'd be great for Kansas City. And, of course, I just told you what I was doing. I was preparing with the Cleveland Indians for a championship season, so the wheels were spinning, you know, pretty quickly. So I got off the phone. I didn't go back in and talk to Peter Gammons. I actually took a walk around the stadium to think about this a little bit. Anyway, long story short, called David back a few days later. I told him we would try to make this work. He said, that's great news. If you try to make it work, I'll do everything in my power to make it happen for you.
And that's what happened. They had a simple phone conversation on a February day or early March day last year in spring training, or this year in spring training, 8 months ago, 9 months ago. How would you like to buy the Royals? John Sherman goes, okay, let's see if we can make it happen. And they made it happen. And the most incredible part of the story, in my opinion, is that he had to cobble together $1 billion to make this happen, because that's what the franchise cost. And he started to do his work and his homework and talking to people. And everybody said, there's no way you're going to be able to raise that money in Kansas City. Well, every red cent to buy the Royals from David Glass has come from folks in Kansas City. Not one dime has come from anywhere outside of Kansas City. And I think that to me is the coolest part of the entire story, is he was able to find enough folks in KC to say, heck yeah, I'm in on this, and I'm buying this ball club, and I'm going to help you buy this ball club, because we know how important it is to Kansas City. We know how important the Royals are to everybody that lives here and to the fabric of this, you know, to this community. And we're all Royals fans, and we want to win. So, yeah, let's do this. Let's get on board. And they got on board. And John Sherman went from a guy in 2014, 5 years ago, you know, a little more than 5 years and a month ago, flying back from his vacation over in Europe with his family to watch game 6 and 7, because he was such a passionate Royals fan and wanted to be there for it, that his wife said, get the hell out of here. Go to America. Skip out on the vacation. Go watch game 6 and 7. Come back when it's all done. He went from diehard, dedicated Royals fan. Fast forward 5 years later, owner of the Kansas City Royals. And I think Kansas City should be very excited and very ecstatic about the ownership group that is in place and what they are going to be able to do with this ball club. And you know they are going to be committed to winning, because nobody flies back from Europe for a baseball game if they're not committed to winning and to seeing this thing through. So welcome to Kansas City. I shouldn't say welcome to Kansas City, but welcome to the Royals, John Sherman. Everybody, I think, is very excited to have you. And with Dayton Moore leading the baseball operations side of things and Mike Matheny, the manager of this ball club, I think we're in awesome hands moving forward. And I couldn't be more excited about the future for the Royals and the fact that David Glass handpicked his successor as the owner and handpicked what looks like right now the perfect successor to him as the owner of the Kansas City Royals. Truly says a lot, and truly shows David Glass's commitment to Kansas City, because he probably could have gotten an extra $500 million by selling it to somebody who wasn't from here but wanted to do what Ewing Kauffman did and assure that the Royals would be here for generations and generations to come. Coming up here on 610 Sports Radio, it was an upset that no one saw coming last night. We'll talk about it next with Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio.
Fesco in the morning.
To you by 7